You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into a Friday Locked On Balls, and I got a special treat for you guys here today. I've been teasing it a little bit this week. Today is Fan Friday, when I'm welcoming on a Tennessee fan for the entire show. So, appointment listening. You guys don't want to go anywhere. I'll introduce our guy here in just a second. But remember, we're talking about everything Tennessee Volunteers right now. But anything else SEC related, the only place you can get it 5 days a week is with the Locked On SEC podcast, Chris Gordy. You can follow that Locked On SEC podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So, again, this is Fan Friday, and I want to welcome in my buddy Matthew Osborne. Pull the curtain back a little bit. I know Matthew. We go back. We used to work together at Carson Newman. But he is the Tennessee fan that is always tweeting. He's on the message boards. He lives in the moment, wears his emotions on his sleeve. And so I think he was a good representative for some of our fan base. And I wanted to bring him on and just chat with him today. So, Matthew, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thanks for letting me make my podcast debut today.
Yeah, absolutely. And so real quick, for those who are kind of listening, I kind of gave a little bit of a background on yourself, but tell us who you are, and you don't have to tell us what you do or anything or what your address is, but kind of why are you such a Tennessee fan? Why are you so loyal to the program? It's been a little heartbreaking here of late.
I mean, I'm a Knoxville native, graduate of Fulton High School, graduate of the University of Tennessee. My family bleeds orange. They've always bled orange. Really think you can my grandfather instilled it in me to love the Vols no matter what, no matter how much they break your heart or how many times the SEC takes games away from you at the end.
So right now with obviously the transition, we'll talk about Pruitt, Fulmer, and all this stuff as we go on. We'll talk about some of your tweets that I've got bookmarked and what you think about all the programs moving forward. But right now, campus-wide, when you look at a new regime in football, Rick Barnes at basketball, what Tony Vitello is doing with baseball, the weeklies, Kelly Harper, just campus-wide, athletic director Danny White, kind of what's your thoughts on Tennessee right now and the direction it's headed?
Danny said it with FallQuest a couple weeks ago. I agree with him. For the most part, the athletic department's pretty healthy. I think a couple programs, mainly softball, has kind of reached its ceiling right now in its current regime. But football's the big concern. Until we get that fixed, I mean, Tennessee's is going to continue to kind of be the laughingstock of the Southeastern Conference.
Man, you and I mean, it's no secret. Fans know that the cash cow is football, and it's like that everywhere. It's like that in high school. It's like that at Carson Newman Division II. When football's down, it's not healthy for the rest of the environment. It's not healthy for the non-revenue sports. Of course, the COVID year was ridiculous in its own right, but getting football on track, it's like a microorganism. For a football team, you got to fix the quarterback. Okay, for the athletic department, you got to fix football. It's just that important.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't know if our current staff is the one to fix it. Looking back, previous regimes, I never thought Butch was going to be the guy, but I thought Butch might be the guy to get us the next guy, and then in 2017, he fell apart. Pruitt, 2018, he beat Kentucky, beat Auburn. Great game, by the way. I was on the planes for that one. 2019, I bid in. We'll talk about that later. But then, I mean, now at this point, 2020, worst season in school history. I mean, I this might be the bleakest that I could think of the football program may have ever been since Johnny came back.
Okay, so you mentioned just right there that you don't know if this regime with football is going to be the one to kind of bring it back and to get it solidified in the SEC race once again. Now, we're not going to know anything until they coach football, obviously, but what gives you pause about Josh Heupel and staff right out of the gate?
I mean, right now I'm concerned recruiting. We've talked about this, in text. I'm concerned where we are recruiting wise. No, we couldn't land the Wade twins. We couldn't lay it. Ty Simpson, the kid from Sam Horn was the kid from Georgia. That was a it's either tickets. I mean, those four guys, he came in a tough spot. But there's concerns for me that we might not be able to get the recruiting going. And I'm concerned that we're going to start using the transfer portal and use the JUCO ranks like he did at UCF, where he would just put, he'd bandage it instead of, getting the foundation truly built. That's my concern football wise.
Well, and I mean, with what he's done here so far, you can't really argue much against that, because he's been very active in the transfer portal. Now, he's had to this year because, of course, the one-time waiver was just passed, but also there's been so much roster turnover. You had several players who signed that granted and got out of their natural letters of intent. You had some guys that entered the transfer portal for disciplinary actions. Point being, a lot of scholarships opened up, and so he has been utilizing that transfer portal. It's here to stay. You'll use it a little bit, but I'm with you. It's never going to overtake the traditional high school recruiting, so recruiting is going to be big. I do want to ask you, though, and we talked about this before, our listeners, you know, Ty Simpson, are you really going to put that on Josh Heupel? Sam Horn, are you really going to put that on Josh Heupel? The Way twins, I got you. That's two losses that that Heupel needed to reel in there. But I feel like when you came in for the class of 2022, you were so far behind that, not trying to make excuses for him because it's got to get better. I don't think this will be a top 20 class, but you were never going to get, in my opinion, a Ty Simpson, and then Sam Horn just committed right after him.
Yeah, I think for me, it's perception. You have, for the first time since, I mean, I can't even think, Joey Matthews maybe at Sevier County, that you have a legitimate stud in state, a quarterback, and you can't get him. And then Sam Horn, we know the last time a Tennessee fan went to a different school. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was just the number one overall pick. Yeah. So Sam Horn, I'll put money on it now. Sam Horn's going to get number one overall pick because Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri is going to figure it out. I mean, that's my concern. And something I didn't mention a second ago is we also have the NCAA limit. We're going to get hammered at some point. It depends on what they do scholarship wise. Depends on if they do a bowl ban. I fully expect a bowl ban. I know AP said that on their podcast earlier today. The bowl ban is going to make it tough to recruit. But I mean, like I said, for quarterback recruiting specifically, my concern is it's perception. You had a kid in Martin who his dad coached. He's a high school coach. He knows what's going on. He would fit this offense perfectly.
He's a coach. We didn't get a chance to win him. He's head coach of UT Martin.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, he would have been, you know, he would have fit the system perfectly, and we can't land him. So that's just a concern perception wise.
Yeah. And I get that. I mean, obviously it's never great when you let in-state talent out of the borders. And, you know, this class is so heavily loaded with talent. You've seen a lot of these guys already commit elsewhere, and there's some that are still uncommitted, but maybe trending away from Tennessee. And so it's going to be big for Heupel to get those guys on campus in the month of June. If not, during fall, if you can make it out of the month of June for a couple of these guys like Dylan Hayden, Fisher Anderson and stuff, I think you're going to be well on your way in that regard. But I get what you're saying there. You know, real quick before we take our first break, I do want to ask you, and you might not be able to answer this really quickly, but we'll adjust. Coach Philip Fulmer holds a special place in everyone's hearts that's a Tennessee football fan. But I feel like fans can't separate – I know you can because we've had conversations. I feel like some fans can't separate coach from AD. In my opinion, Hall of Fame coach, not a good athletics director. And obviously the athletics department's in some turmoil right now. What are your thoughts on Philip Fulmer? I don't want to hammer him by any means, but I just want to know your thoughts on that distinction.
In the fan base, I'm in the minority when it comes to Philip. I think Philip, until the day that he dies, the day that I die, Philip's going to be my coach. Everyone talks about this. I remember when Johnny passed away, a lot of people older than me were like, Johnny was my coach. Well, that's Philip. Philip, yeah. In 98, he led us to the national championship. You know, growing up, I remember Philip Fulmer on the sidelines. So no matter what, you know, we have an egg on our face at this point. He backed Pruitt to the end, which I disagree with to this day. But, I mean, Philip Fulmer is going to be my coach until the day I die. I can't say enough good things about what he has meant to me. I've met him maybe once, and he's never going to know who I am. But as a Tennessee Vol, Philip Fulmer is going to be the guy one of the guys that I think about no matter what. He'd be on my Mount Rushmore from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, he probably would be mine as well. I mean, he's a lifer. He's a Tennessee Volunteers lifer. He, you know, dedicated his entire, essentially, you know, from 18 years old. He's the Tennessee guy, you know, grew up in the state as well. And so, obviously, he would be on mine as well. But I know a lot of fans either – it's kind of like trusting blindly in coach worship, you know, to either that regard or just completely turn their backs on him when he became the athletics director. So not much of a happy medium there, but I just want to get your thoughts on that and Philip Fulmer. But we got a lot more coming up with Matthew Osborne. He has some tweets we're going to dig up from the past, which is hilarious. We're going to get his thoughts on his favorite figure in college athletics. That would be Mr. Greg Sankey himself, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. So more with that. This is Fan Friday. Matthew Osborne's coming up here in just a little bit. But first, let me remind you about Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. NBA playoff games. We're getting into games 3 and 4 this weekend, all right? NHL playoffs on to the second round for the majority of the field. Got to finish up those games 4 and 5s here coming up as well. So plenty of action to get into. Major League Baseball. And the Atlanta Braves are hobbling right now, but playing good baseball. So if you're keeping track of that, you can get on all that action at betonline.ag. All the news, odds, sports information you need. So before the next pitch, I want you to head on over to betonline.ag on your laptop or your mobile device. Check it all out. The great sporting news. Sign up for the bonuses and the contesting information. I don't want you to sit on the sidelines anymore because you can put your sports use. You got to be careful, though, with your favorite team because we're a little blinded sometimes. But put that sports knowledge to use and put some coin in your pocket. What BetOnline is doing right now, if you're a first-time depositor, they're going to give you a 50% welcome bonus. You put in $300, they'll give you $150. You know the drill. How many other books out there are doing that right now? Not many. So use that promo code LOCKEDON, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All that and more. It's a Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back into a Fan Friday edition, maybe the first of many here on Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane, along with my friend and Tennessee apologist, a lifer, a big time Tennessee football, basketball, any sports you put out there fan. His name is Matthew Osborne. Oz, what's your Twitter handle? Throw it out there. Is it still the Mind of the Oz?
It's the Mind of the Oz. I'll put a disclaimer on there. I tweet a lot about the Vols, but also, if you don't like soccer, if you don't like the Cubs or the Preds or the Colts, let's clarify, if you're a Nashville Oilers fan, don't follow me on Twitter because I will talk mega trash about the team in the mid-state.
We will dig up some of his tweets, but I'm telling you, for a game day follow, there's not many better ones in the country right now. It is hilarious. Another coworker that we used to work with back at the Newman, we used to take screenshots and send them back and forth and make fun of him behind his back. He's that funny. So go ahead and Michael Watring, of course, that's who I'm talking about. So go ahead and give him a follow there. All right, this is the meat episode. This is the meat segment of the episode because Matthew's got some great takes on Jeremy Pruitt. All right, so the floor is yours. Jeremy Pruitt, 3 years. 2018 was rough. 2019 ended strong after a really rough start. 2020 was abysmal. Internal investigation gets him fired. His staff is gone. Jeremy Pruitt, your thoughts on the former Tennessee head coach?
Let's clarify. He's a gump. The man doesn't know what asparagus is. He might claim he does now, but in 2006 he didn't, or 2005, he didn't know what asparagus was. Jeremy Pruitt left the program in shambles. It is what it is. Conspiracy theory, he was a mole for Nick Saban. He came here. He wanted to blow it up. He successfully did it. Let's hope he doesn't get paid by the university. I know that's still up in the air, but Jeremy Pruitt really, really put the school and the program back a lot of times.
So when Butch Jones was fired and left the program, I thought the roster was just horrendous. I've been on record saying many, many times that like Dooley inherited or Butch inherited a really good team from Dooley. Butch left the team in shambles for Jeremy Pruitt, and it took him all the way up into year 3 to get the numbers back to 85. Having said all that, and the transfer portal helps, man, this roster is in complete shambles. Of course, Henry Tuolotuo leaving, Ty Chandler leaving, Eric Gray leaving, Wanya Morris leaving, just a couple of many. What's your thoughts on these former Tennessee Vols leaving, and do you blame them? Is it Pruitt's fault? Kind of this offseason of transition, what do you have on that?
You left Guevara's Crouch out there too. I think that's going to be an important loss, especially in the linebacking position. I can't fault.
To be fair, I left out a many.
That's true. That's true. But I think Q could have been big. I can't blame college kids for making their best decision. Eric Gray being a Tennessean leaving to go to Oklahoma. Don't like it. Want, you know, Keyshawn Lawrence going to Oklahoma. Don't like it. But at the end of the day, if the coach that recruits you leaves, go ahead. Go somewhere that you can be successful. Like, I don't hate the players. Now, Henry going to Alabama, that's different because you spent 2 years hating Alabama and then you decide to go to the Evil Empire. That one's a little different just because it's Alabama. If he goes to Georgia, if he goes to Florida, I don't hate Florida like a lot of people do. And for me, it's Alabama and Vanderbilt, the two programs that I hate the most in the Southeastern Conference. But I can't blame the kids. I can't fault them for going somewhere else. Their coaches left. The program's in shambles. Go get paid, especially certain players that are only going to be there a year. EG going to be there a year. Wanye will be there maybe 2 years. We'll see. And then Ty Chandler could leave no matter what because he's a grad student.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying. Early on in the process, you had guys like DeAndre Johnson leaving, Ty Chandler leaving, Brandon Johnson leaving, and people were freaking out. And I'm like, well, they're going to leave anyway. It's just they've already graduated. They have an additional year of eligibility. I mean, sure, Ty Chandler, I mean, Tennessee's got no experience in the running back room right now, which I think that running back room is going to be okay. But Ty Chandler is going to be running for a top 10 team this year. And so you hope that he goes off and he's successful. But at the time, I was saying, well, I mean, this is really not a big deal, guys. Then the heavy hitters, you had Henry T., Wanya Morris, Eric Gray, Key Lawrence, who, you know, you mentioned Corvarius Crouch. I've never been super high on him. But Key Lawrence, though he didn't play a pivotal role as a freshman, I think Key Lawrence is going to be like an All-American top guy, you know, down the road. And so I think that has the potential to be the biggest loss, even maybe bigger than Henry T. But moving forward, back to Jeremy Pruitt, you know, what – I know his comments rub people the wrong way. His style of play rubbed people the wrong way. What is it for you? Maybe it was a decision that he did. Maybe it was decisions at a certain position that he did. What was it about Jeremy Pruitt that just really irked you the most?
I mean, the fact that he didn't let Jim Chaney run his own offense is extremely frustrating. 2012, we saw what Jim Chaney could do with a good offense. You know, when you had Tyler Bray, which, granted, you had Tyler Bray, CP, Justin Hunter, and Derek Rogers, best wide receiver of the three right there. But you saw what they could do there. And then, you know, Jeremy decides, hey, we'll pay you $1 million. We're going to put handcuffs on you. We're not going to let you run your offense. We're going to go grind it out, run 2 seconds left on the play clock when the entirety of college football is going exactly the other way. He, instead of embracing, you know, a potentially good offense with the pieces that he had last year, he decided to, you know, muck it up and try to beat somebody at the line of scrimmage. And it just didn't work. I mean, his mismanagement of the quarterback position, and he's blindly going to Jarrett Garantano, which I have a lot of tweets about JG. At the end of the day, whatever. He got put in crap situations by a bad football coach. Jeremy Pruitt doesn't need to show his face. I hope he sells that house in Knoxville. Never come back. Just stay in Rainsville. Stay in Tuscaloosa. Stay in New York. If we want to talk about Jeremy Pruitt being in New York City whenever he's from Rainsville, Alabama, that in itself is the funniest thing in the world. He better be living in like middle of nowhere, New Jersey, if he wants to somewhere have any semblance of a normal life.
That is kind of funny to picture. Of course, Jeremy Pruitt now, I want to say an assistant defensive backs coach for the New York Giants. I don't even think it's an on the field coaching role like on Sundays, but nonetheless, he's getting paid to go up there and hang out and coach football. Tennessee, it's kind of a former mixture of Tennessee personnel up there on that staff, which is kind of funny to begin with. And I will say this too, and you and I mean, you text me shouting at me during the Georgia game. I'll say this, there's, you know, fans like to give him a hard time for saying, well, he practiced the best. Well, he practiced the best. I mean, that's what any coach in America is going to say. You're going to play the guys who practice the best, but when you repeatedly make those mistakes, you can't. I mean, you got to try something else. You just have to. And you know, Harrison Bailey was a true freshman during a COVID year. I mean, he got put in a crap situation too. You know, Brian Maurer is just not consistently where you wanted to be so far in his career. JT Shroud kind of the same way to that point. So you didn't have options, but when the same things continue to happen, you've got to just move in a different direction. So I think that more so than anything was his biggest downfall in the mismanagement of that position. Real quick before we get out of this segment, your favorite human being on God's green earth is Greg Sankey. Why do you hate Greg Sankey so much? What about him? What does he do that's just horrendous at his job? A lot of tweets we'll pull up here in a minute reference Greg Sankey.
Greg Sankey, I mean, first of all, the Southeastern Conference does not need to be located in Birmingham, Alabama. You're an hour away from Tuscaloosa. You clearly make every decision possible to benefit the University of Alabama. So I said this on VolQuest a couple days ago. We need to move the offices and put it in Charlotte. Put it with the SEC Network. There's not a school in the state of North Carolina that's a member institution. Get it out of there. Put them in Switzerland. But Greg Sankey, he's proven that at the end of the day, he's going to help schools that help him, that pay the money, Alabama football, Kentucky basketball. He's that I can think of since his tenure in the Southeastern Conference commissioner, he suspended one player for an on-the-field incident.
Juwan Jennings.
Juwan Jennings, exactly. Yeah. Juwan Jennings didn't do anything to that kid from Vanderbilt. Let's clarify. There's no evidence whatsoever that proves that he justified a suspension for the first half of the kid's last game in orange and white. But Greg Sankey hates the University of Tennessee, and therefore I'm going to remind him that the University of Tennessee still exists and that we make his paychecks. So, I mean, Greg Sankey, he's the head honcho, he's the ringleader, and the circus clown in Birmingham, Alabama.
I think overall he's done a decent job. I think he's very inconsistent with some of the disciplinary actions. I think he completely mismanaged the whole Payne elbow, forgot his first name, from Florida to John
Omar Fulkerson. Payne.
Oh, you're in the building, as Ron Slade would say, in the building, and you can't go out and make a statement? You can't go out? I mean, come on. What a horrendous look whenever Florida's actually doing the right thing by sitting him in the first round of the NCAA tournament and John Fulkerson showing all the grace in the world, but the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference can't step up and send out a press release or get in front of a camera and answer one question?
Let's say this, and a member of the Tennessee media brought this across my timeline on Twitter. Omar Payne says he's not a dirty player. He was in an interview with Illinois this week, and he said that he wasn't a dirty player. He just plays physical. Okay, concussing and breaking someone's face means you're not a dirty player. Okay, Omar Payne, enjoy the Big Ten. I'm glad you're not in the SEC.
Yep, broke his face for sure. John Fulkerson did not look good, but hey, part of the reason why he's coming back to Rocky Top and what could be a memorable season for Tennessee. We'll touch base on Tennessee basketball on the other side. Also, digging up some old tweets with Matthew Osborne here on Fan Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Real quick, though, Built Bar, 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited-time flavor. When you ask any Built Bar fan, they're very passionate, like Matthew is about his Volunteers, very passionate about their favorites. If you don't know what the flavors are for Built Bar, you're missing out. But I'll tell you right now, it's coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolates, and salted caramel. There's something for everyone, for me, for Matthew, for you listening right now, for Mark, and for Jeremy, who went ahead and sent me DM saying, hey, they've ordered a mix box of Built Bars. So find out what your favorite flavor is and share it all around. Again, 9 flavors right now, plus the limited time. Most of these Built Bars have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs. Great for the health-conscious guy or gal. And it's a chocolate bar, 100% chocolate. Looks and tastes like a candy bar, but it's not. It is a protein bar. So right now, don't put it off any longer. You got a big, long weekend coming up. Go ahead and order it. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. So BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCK15. For 15% off your next order, promo code LOCK15, all at BuiltBar.com. We got a final segment left here on this Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Programming note, remember, guys, there will be no show on Monday, Memorial Day. No show on Monday, Memorial Day. We'll be back for Twitter Tuesday. Don't forget the prompt. Who is your breakout player for Tennessee football in 2021 and why? That is our Twitter Tuesday discussion, following an off day on Monday, Memorial Day. Got Matthew Osborne here, one of my buddies, here for Fan Friday, just kind of having a conversation. You know, why do you keep coming back? Tennessee puts you through so much heartbreak. Matthew kind of alluded earlier, hey, I grew up a Tennessee fan. I was taught you love your Vols no matter what. I went to Tennessee. Now, that's Matthew. What say you, though? And I'm really enjoying this conversation, just kind of trying to get him to start up a little bit. So, in the notes I sent you in preparation for this podcast, Oz, I said, fan is short for fanatic, and you, sir, are bleeping crazy. And that's true. I mean, you are. And I think you own it. And that's fine. You got to love it. There have been some tweets that I have bookmarked throughout the last couple of years because, again, you need to follow at the Mind of the Odds on Twitter during game days because it is incredible. One of the ones I want to bring up here, Matthew, and I want you to explain yourself. September the 7th, 2019. This is what we get for hiring a Bammer. Johnny isn't coming home this time. Okay. Obviously, that was the Georgia State following that fiasco. In October, just a month later, the 27th of 2019, you quote tweet that and say, "I'm an idiot at Coach Jeremy Pruitt. I'm sorry for every bad word I've ever said about you. I'll never say them again. I don't mean it." Explain yourself.
So first of all, it was BYU. That okay. tweet was sent from the 11th Street Garage about 10:30. You have the timestamp. After, you know, that was the biggest tailgate of the year that we had in the 11th Street Garage. Somehow
10:42 p.m. 10:42.
And then the second tweet was sent from church on Sunday morning after the South Carolina win where Juwan Jennings went off, scored two touchdowns. Tennessee took the chickens behind the shed and whipped them pretty good. I was slowly turning, you know, going it after the 2019 season. 2020 was the year of the Vols. Jeremy said it himself. And then I came to my senses this year or last year, and I realized once again, we've hired two Bammers in our lives. I think maybe Battle and Wyatt might be one, but Johnny came home after the first one. Jeremy Pruitt's not a Vol. I mean, Josh Heupel's not a Vol. But I don't regret anything I said that day on September 7th. Johnny's not coming home this time, unfortunately. But I knew from the get-go, year two, I knew that Jeremy Pruitt was going to be a fraud.
And you quote-tweeted that yet again on the afternoon of January the 18th, 2021, just a few months ago, and said, "Hey, in all capital letters, I called it 15 months ago. I called it." So I wanted to bring that one back up. Real quick sidebar, not a sidebar, but
I think I also said, "Ding dong, the witch is dead." If we want to go back that far.
One quick follow up, though. You were saying Jeremy Pruitt's not a Vol, Josh Heupel's not a Vol, Butch Jones wasn't a Vol, Derek Dooley wasn't a Vol, Philip Fulmer was a Vol, Johnny Majors was a Vol. Does Tennessee's head coach need to be a Vol in your opinion?
I mean, I can take that a lot better than I can if it's not a Vol, especially if it's a Bammer. If we're having another Gump, then I'm not going to handle that well. I mean, it doesn't have to be a Vol. Rick Barnes isn't a Vol. Tony Vitello's not a Vol. But they have success. Until football has success with a non-Vol, yeah, bring Vols on. We don't have any unless we want to hire Charles Davis. He wouldn't leave that gig that he's got going right now. There's not a Vol to hire. But bring him home.
All right, let's go to
– Chadwell maybe?
Yeah, that was a conversation this offseason for sure. Let's go to May 26, 2021. That was just a couple of days ago. All right. Instead of an office building, Greg Sankey and the rest of the clowns in Birmingham need to buy a circus tent. Was this actually on Wednesday after the Max Ferguson ordeal?
Oh, exactly what it was.
Yeah. Okay.
It is exactly what it was. Alabama needs to get they need big wins to get into the regional, and so the SEC decided to put in another call to help out their little baby over there. Alabama and Southeastern Conference are in cahoots. Always will be.
Was that not the weakest call you've ever seen in your life?
I have friends who have told me on multiple occasions that the call was the correct call. They're baseball players. They're Tennessee fans. But I still, to this day, he was in the baseline. He protected his face. If you look, and you didn't talk about it on the podcast on Thursday, but late Wednesday night, same exact play happened in Ole Miss Vanderbilt game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guess what? They didn't call it. Mm-hmm. So either be consistent and get the call right or allow Tennessee to win for the second time.
It's funny, too. I think it's all about your interpretation of the call because I read the rule book. I read it a couple of times. I watched the replay probably 10 times. He's shielding his face from what could have been a shin to the face, a knee to the face, whatever the case may be. He makes contact with the groin. But he was not out of the baseline. And so I just think if you're going to call that in the ninth inning, why aren't you calling that in the third inning? Why didn't you call that in that game later that night? It's just ridiculous. I think it is so soft, completely soft. And it's interesting you said you had friends who are baseball players, Tennessee fans that said that was a correct call. I've had two umpires reach out to me today. One texted me, one DM'd me and said that was a total BS call. And so it's all about your interpretation, I really think. And so that's kind of interesting there. All right. So let's again follow him. He's at the mind of the Oz on game days. He is fantastic. As we end our show here with Matthew Osborne, Fan Friday, I want you to project some of these teams on the Hill 2 years from now. Let's go ahead and start with basketball in 2023. What will Tennessee basketball be in 2023? Will Rick Barnes still be head coaching, or will he be retired?
2023, Richard will be in his, I think he'll be in the 70s at that point. I think at that point, Richard Del Barnes, the best coach in program history. Bruce is a fraud. Bruce doesn't count. Ray Mears, absolute legend. We'll put those two on the pinnacle, Ray and Rick. I think Rick's retired at that point. He'll want to get back to Austin, be with the grandkids. But I think we, at that point, if Danny's still in his position, he'll be able to make a good hire. Tennessee will be restored. Tennessee will be a program that can compete in the SEC every year. So I think we'll still be one of the pinnacles of the league.
All right, baseball 2023. You know, I could say, will Tony Vitello still be the coach in 2023? I could say that about 2023, or 2 months from now, will Tony Vitello still be the head coach of the Volunteers? What about baseball? Because what Tony's done here in 4 years, three SEC seasons, has been incredible. Do you still see Tennessee climbing the tops and being a more consistent power in the SEC?
All right, here's my hot take for the podcast. By 2023, Tony Vitello remains the head coach at the University of Tennessee. And at that point, he's winning a trophy in Omaha. The Vols are going to be a national champion by 2023. We're going to get Lindsey Nelson fixed. Tony's going to continue to recruit. If we get the kid from Kentucky that's currently committed, but he's a top five prospect, we're going to absolutely mash. Tony's going to win us the national championship by 23. The porch is going to be fixed. We're going to get stands down the left field line. Lindsey Nelson Stadium is going to be rocking, and the Vols are going to be winning at him.
So you're not in favor of playing downtown?
I don't think it's a bad idea, but based on everything that I've read, I don't think Tony wants it.
Yeah,
Tony wants to be on campus, which is fine. I mean, you got to think of the environment with the Creatures this year. They were absolutely stellar. People want to make jokes. They drank beer out of a mullet. What more power to them? That's my kind of raucous environment. I'm a Cubs fan, so I'm accustomed to people being crazy in the bleachers. So yeah, I think on campus is the right move, because you got the frat houses, you got frat row behind them. Students can come over from campus. It's an easy, I mean, downtown's not bad. I mean, it's a 5-minute drive from that location, but I just think on campus is a better look.
William Contreras is the man. I love him. I called him when he was in the Appy League a couple of years ago, and now I think he's going to be really, really good National League catcher for years to come. Sidebar, but
he's not even the best Contreras brother.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has potential to be better than him, better than his big brother, but he's not there yet. Tennessee football 2023. Where does Josh Heupel have this team in 2023?
Fighting for bowl eligibility. 2023. I'm trying to think. Is that the year we go to Pittsburgh? I think it is. No, that's the year we go to BYU. So you're going to have a tough non-conference game. I think either we play Army either next year or 2023. So that's not going to, then by no means is that going to be a win. I think Army is going to handle us because they run the triple option. I think the Vols are going to be struggling to get to bowl eligibility at that point. Based on the contract that Heupel signed, I think that he's going to get an additional year. We're not going to be calling for a head coach at that point, but I don't think we're not going to be competing for an SEC East like everybody thinks.
All right, so a slow burn for Josh Heupel. That's according to Matthew Osborne projecting the 2023 season. And, of course, the hottest take that we've had on this podcast probably ever since I've been hosting, Tony Vitello winning a national championship in Omaha by 2023 for Tennessee. So we're going to write those down. We're going to revisit those here in a couple of years when we have you back on the show. So, hey, man, I appreciate you hanging out with us. I think this went well. We'll get some feedback from the listeners. Guys, if you enjoyed this type of content, let me know, DM me, and we'll keep it going. I'll reach out. I'll get more listeners of this podcast and bring us on and just have a conversation about Tennessee athletics. Where are you? Why are you there? And why do you love Tennessee football so much? Oz, I appreciate you, man. Great stuff, dude.
Hey, thanks for having me. I love the pod, a daily listener. Get you some Built Bars, guys. Maybe go to rockauto.com if you need to. They didn't sponsor this show, but rockauto.com and get you some Built Bars.
That's my guy right there. That's my guy. Also, when we're done right now, go check out the Locked On Today podcast. Who has been the best player in the NBA playoffs so far? That's the cue of the day. You can get all the news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right. Remember, guys, no show on Monday. We'll be back at it for Tuesday. The Twitter Tuesday topic is, who is the breakout football candidate for 2021 and why? You guys stay safe. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend and have a great rest of your Friday, everybody.